I don't believe God exists. It's a fantasy of religion.
I don't believe in the religion of atheism.
What religion? It's science.
Science? Really? Has evolution ever been observed?
What do you mean?
You know, evolution is still an assumption, right? It's a faith-based statement. There is no real empirical evidence. There is no validity. The origin of life has never been observed. It hasn't been reproduced by scientists. So how do you know it's true? It's still a theory that's never been proven. Science must be observable and repeatable. Show me any observational evidence for evolution that does not require me to use faith.
Well, you know the Big Bang did happen, and over millions of years, life can evolve and mutations can happen.
See, you're making assumptions. It's a belief, a blind faith. The Big Bang theory is purely hypothetical. It's never been proven. Now, if the Big Bang theory is true, then I would like to know what exploded, and where did it come from? Where did the energy come from? Where did the space come from for the matter to expand into? You see, in violation of the obvious laws of thermodynamics, matter doesn't create itself, and everything degrades over time. So either it had a beginning or it didn't. If it had a beginning, then what was before the beginning? But you say, well, this matter somehow either was always here or created itself, and then this matter somehow became alive, and then this first living thing learned how to reproduce, and then it learned how to make something other than its kind. Oh, come on. Nobody's ever seen a dog produce a non-dog, such as a wolf or a fox. Nobody's ever seen that kind of mutation or change of kind. Even bacteria are still bacteria. Can you give me observable evidence for Darwinian evolution where there's a change of kind? See, the point is, there's a whole host of questions that are a whole lot harder for you to answer than in the beginning, God. You see, evolutionists never answer the question, where did the energy come from? Where did the matter itself come from? You want me to believe we came from a rock? From stardust? You know, it's not much easier for me to believe in the beginning God than to believe in the beginning dirt or matter. There are so many thousands of things you take by faith. Do you still want me to think what you believe is scientific? Isn't it a blind, faith-based belief?
Okay, maybe one day it can be proven, but isn't yours a blind faith too?
Well, I don't have faith to be an atheist. But let me tell you why the logic of God's existence as an intelligent designer is unavoidable.
All right, why do you think so?
Okay, so how could the human body have formed over eons of time when all organs must function together for life to exist? Think about it. If the heart was fully formed but the lungs were not, what would happen? What about the heartbeat and our breathing? If they were not involuntary muscles working in union, then when man would fall asleep, his breathing and his heart would stop beating at that time. How could anyone possibly believe the human body evolved over time? What about the miracle of birth? How could life develop so perfectly in the womb? How could all parts of the body form at the right moment, not requiring air until birth, yet be alive and functioning in the womb? That requires design, wisdom, timing, and a miracle. What about symmetry in the body? How would that occur if just by random chance? What about the eyes, placed in just the exact distance from each other, in order to achieve the perfect depth perception? What if man had developed only one eye? Now let's consider the Earth's rotation period of 24 hours. This is the perfect length of time to support life. If daylight were longer than 12 hours, plant life would burn up. If night were longer, it would become too cold and kill the vegetation. How is it that seawater, when evaporated, is distilled in the clouds, so that rainwater won't contain salt, which would kill the plant life? What about the vast oceans, not crossing their boundary onto the land? You know, the shorelines should vary greatly, considering the enormous bodies of water affected by evaporation and rainfall. Yet, the oceans remain in the same place year after year. Well, do you know, this is because God commanded the oceans not to move. That's in the Bible. Now, some scientists have said that the early atmosphere had to be free of oxygen, as it destroys the building blocks of life, such as the protein molecule, the DNA, and the RNA. However, they have discovered that if there was no oxygen, there could not have been an ozone layer, and without that, the ultraviolet radiation would have killed the protein molecules. So you can't have life with oxygen, and you can't have life without it. This became a huge problem for scientists to explain. Okay, now let's look at the animal kingdom. Animals possess innate abilities in order to survive. How do they acquire them? What about the dolphins? You know, they have a sophisticated sonar system in the front of their skull. It produces ultrasonic underwater high-frequency sound waves, about 200,000 vibrations per second, which is 10 times the frequency of a bat sonar system. And this is far superior to the billion-dollar submarines. How do they acquire these systems and survive? While this feature was conveniently evolving. Look at the hummingbird. It beats its wings up to 80 strokes per second. It can hover for minutes and take off in any direction in an instant. Its aerodynamics are astounding and far beyond anything man has ever been able to construct. How about an eclipse? How is it that the moon or the earth appears the exact size of the sun during an eclipse? The moon is 1/4 the size of the earth, and 1.3 million Earths could fit in the Sun. In order to appear the same size, their placement in the universe has to be precise. What would be the odds of that occurring? You know, evolutionists also believed there was a day when nothing exploded. This theory is taught by Dr. Richard Dawkins and by other scientists. Well, the first question must be, how can nothing explode into something? How is that scientific? We know that any type of explosion produces disorder and chaos. So if the Earth went spinning off into space, its rotation would gradually slow down. Yet it remains constant at the precise speed for life to exist, and explosions do not produce order in perfect design. So you see, it's insanely too big of a leap of faith to conclude that there is no intelligent designer. As an atheist, it takes more faith to believe the universe happened by accident than to believe God is responsible for its creation. But think also about morality. Where does that come from? Who decides right and wrong? Moral relativism is the belief that no absolute values exist. Rather, they are based on personal or societal preferences. So it means what is true for you is true for you, and what is true for me is true for me. Truth is subjective. Objective morals do not exist. They are simply preferences. But you see, moral relativism is illogical, inconsistent, and self-contradictory. It leads to a paradox. If morality is truly only a personal preference, then each individual gets to determine right and wrong without obligation to consider others. However, as humans, we instinctively know something is absolutely wrong. That's because God, the moral lawgiver, has put moral absolutes in our conscience.
Impressive. I didn't see it this way. I've got to admit, your reasoning makes sense. But still, I think I will be convinced only if God proves himself to me.
Could it be that you have deliberately chosen not to believe? Have you been put off by religion and its hypocrisy? Are you angry at God? Do you hate the idea of God because you don't want to be held morally accountable? I don't want to sound rude or judgmental, but I have to tell you the truth. The Bible records God saying this, that the fool says in his heart, "There is no God." It's because the marvel of creation itself testifies and reveals a creator. So there is no excuse. We have already been given overwhelming proof of design. It is glaringly obvious there is a designer, and that designer is God himself. And he had and has no beginning and no end. God never created religion. Man made it. God has always intended a relationship. It was the religious people of the day that crucified Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus came to restore us to a place of friendship with God. It's not worth taking the risk. If you don't believe and repent and put your trust in what Jesus did, your sins can never be forgiven. Hell is the absence of God and his goodness that you take for granted without acknowledging him. The suffering never ends in that dark, tormenting place. Eternity is never ending, and death is too late to realize you were wrong. Your true motives for not believing in God will be exposed.
But don't you think hell is too severe for the sins we commit? It's not fair.
You know, every sin is a sin first against God. It's his universe, his earth, and he put us here. And a sin against God is infinite. The higher the person against whom a sin is committed, the graver the sin. It is more criminal to strike a head of state than a private citizen. If I lied to you, it would be wrong. But if I lied to the Supreme Court, it would be worse because of their position. If I punch my brother in the stomach, it would be wrong. But if I punch my mother in the stomach, it would be far worse because of her position. Well, God is infinitely greater in position, but in addition, he is also infinitely greater in being. Therefore, sinning against an almighty, infinitely powerful, eternal God is deserving of eternal punishment. Because sin surrounds us, we become accustomed to it, so we think that God should not judge us so harshly. We may think that the endless duration of hell would be unfair, as compared to 80 or 90 years of a sinful life. We feel that our crime doesn't fit the punishment. However, there are at least three reasons why time is the wrong premise. The first reason is that the time spent in hell to pay for our sins would be considered works. But we are saved by the grace of God, not by works. Time could never pay for our sins. The second reason is that our time is not valuable enough to pay for our sins. Only the shed blood of Jesus has that value. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Only someone who is eternal and has never sinned can pay for our sins. The third reason is that the time it takes to commit a murder may only be a few seconds, yet the time justified for the punishment may be a lifetime. So the time it takes to commit the crime has nothing to do with the time allocated for the punishment. You know, Socrates said this about death. There is great reason to hope that death is a good, for one of two things. Either death is a state of nothingness and utter unconsciousness, or, as men say, there is a change and migration of the soul from this world to another. And Charles Darwin said in his book, The Origin of Species, that the eye with all its innumerable contrivances, for adjusting the focus to different distances, for admitting different amounts of light, and for the correction of spherical and chromatic aberration, could have been formed by natural selection, seems, I freely confess, absurd in the highest degree. In the book From Ape to Adam by Herbert Wendt, Darwin was also quoted as saying, I have asked myself whether I may not have devoted my life to a fantasy. I am ready to cry with vexation at my blindness and presumption. The Bible says, Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord, who made all things, who alone stretched out the heavens, who spread out the earth by myself. If you insist on calling God a liar, it's your free choice to do so. However, know that you will stand before him one day to give an account of your life. Even if mine is a blind faith, I have nothing to lose. But you have everything to lose when one second after death you realize that God wasn't a fantasy. Hope you will think seriously about all that I have said.